Saraji has been giving talk starting from the June 1st till the end of this month. The theoretical and practical aspects of Satipatthana meditation. In other words, Saraji has been explaining the knowledge as well as the practice so that yogis will know how to practice. And Saraji explained the benefits of Satipatthana practice briefly. And Saraji had already explained how one should practice Satipatthana meditation in a brief way as much as he can. And Saraji will explain how one should practice in more detail. And from now, he will explain more in detail what has been explained briefly in the earlier part of the retreat. So yogis who are practicing Satipatthana meditation should understand what is Satipatthana. So they should combine the theory with their practice. In other words, they should have both theoretical and practical knowledge through the practice. And in other words, one should understand very clearly by combining suttamaya jnana, knowledge gained through learning of theory, and it should be combined with bhavanamaya jnana, knowledge gained through mental development practice. And before Saraji explains about Satipatthana in detail, Saraji will explain by questions and answering these questions one by one so that it will be easier for the yogis to understand. And there are 14 questions, and Saraji will answer each of these 14 questions first of all. Among the 14 questions, the first one is, what is Satipatthana? So it is important to know what is Satipatthana first of all. In order to practice Satipatthana meditation, it will not be easy if one does not understand what is Satipatthana. Even though the person practices Satipatthana, and even though the person cultivates knowledge through the practice to a certain extent, even though the person is cultivating samadhi, concentration, and jnana, knowledge, but he or she may not be able to relate his or her practice. So it will just be like a deaf person who had a dream. A deaf person who had a dream experiences the dream, but he cannot explain how he or she dreamt. In the same way, if a yogi practices Satipatthana meditation, the person has some experience, but he or she cannot explain his or her experience clearly. So that's why it is important to understand what is Satipatthana.
Dear Megungaro, the Dine Patthana, Bumsa Bida Bali, Bade Be Shivadale, Ajitudia Megunebe, a main Pine Bali, Dressa Bida Taleve, Nale Taipada.
Sati means remembering or being mindful. And the third question is, what should one be mindful of? What should one remember, or what should one be mindful of? So is it that one should be mindful or aware of the events that arose in the past? Or is it that one has to remember or recall about other people's events? Or is it like one has to remember about the things that had not happened? So one should know what the person should be remembering, or what the person should be mindful about, and what are the objects that the person should be mindful of. So just by saying the word sati alone, the meaning is quite complete. And what it means by putting the word patthana, and what will be the meaning when it becomes satipatthana. So just by saying sati, being mindful, it is not as clear. So one should understand why the portion patthana is used together with sati in the satipatthana. So people are not clear about its meaning yet. So people are practicing satipatthana, and they say that they are practicing satipatthana. And in the satipatthana, there is mindfulness, and people say the person's mindfulness is continuous, or it is said that there are gaps between the mindfulness. In this way, they mention as sati, with the word sati alone. So one should understand if it is complete just to use the word sati alone, or why should the word patthana should be combined together with sati. So one should understand why is the extra word patthana used together with sati. Or one should know what meaning that the extra word patthana can bring, and what meaning does it bring by using the extra word patthana. So in this way, one should understand in detail the meaning. The fifth question is, in the term patthana, what meaning the combination of pa and thana brings to the meaning? In order to understand this question accurately, one needs to understand what pa means and what thana means and the combination of patthana means. And one should understand together with theoretical and practical aspects in order to understand the meaning. And the sixth is, what is the special meaning of pa? And how the Buddha used the word pa in order to make the deep meaning and to understand it through one's practice? What is the special meaning of pa? And the seventh question is, when the two terms sati and patthana are combined together, what is the meaning? What is the complete meaning when these two terms, sati and patthana, are combined together? And to combine this complete meaning of sati and patthana together, combining with the practice, how satisfying it will be. And the eighth question is, how can the theory and the practice be combined? How can the theoretical knowledge can be combined with the practice? Nowadays, the technology is much advanced. So can it be combined that this cause is giving this effect? And number nine is, what will be the benefit by combining theory and practice? So this question is a question that is really necessary. One should understand the benefit of the work that one is doing. It is very important for the person to know the benefit of what he or she is working at. And if the person just do it without knowing the benefit, it will not be meaningful. So one should understand what benefit this practice can bring by combining theory and practice. Some of them may say, I practice because the teacher asked me to practice. I don't know about it. So Sarah G does not want to let it happen that way. When the person say, I practice because the teacher asked me to practice, I don't know anything about it. So when the person practice, one should be able to explain what he or she experienced as the result or as the benefit of practice. If the person says that he or she does not know the benefit but just practice because he or she is asked to, then it will not be good. So one should understand that when sati and patthana are combined together, when the theory and practice are combined together, what will be the benefit? What will be the immediate benefit one will get by combining theory and practice? What will be the benefit or the result that one gets in the future life? And also that one should also understand how this practice will also give result to the other people as well as the gaining Nibbana. And through the practice, what benefits the society or the surrounding get when the person can control his or her bodily behavior, verbal behavior, mental behavior through the Satipatthana practice? In order to answer that question, yogis have already understood the benefit of Satipatthana practice according to the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. So they have understood in theory, and they should understand it through their practice, understanding that the theory is like this, the practice is like this. And the 10th question is, when there is the opportunity to practice, what time, when one should practice, or what age the person should practice, and how one should practice? And the 11th question is Satipatthana meditation most important work for every human being? Meaning that in the world, there are people of different beliefs, of different race, religion, beliefs, different nationality. Is Satipatthana meditation the most important work for every human being regardless of race, religion, belief, or nationality. The 12th question is, why the Sutta was taught by the Buddha relating to whom? So it means that where the Mahasatipatthana Sutta was taught, when it was taught, for what reason it was taught. And the 13th question is, what are the basic benefits and what is the topmost benefit of Satipatthana practice? One should understand that what kind of topmost benefit the Buddha wanted the beings to get, and what made Buddha encourage the beings to practice Satipatthana meditation, and whether every person needs to gain these benefits. So while the person comes across the teachings of the Buddha in this sasana, while they have this opportunity to practice Satipatthana meditation, one should understand through his or her practice, one should be able to explain what is Satipatthana Sutta. And the 14th question is, starting from which age the person should practice Satipatthana meditation, whether the person should start practicing from young age, or whether to start the practice from the middle age, or to start practicing Satipatthana meditation at old age. So these are the questions, and these questions should be answered. So when the person has way past the child age, the middle age, the senior age, while the person has passed all that, and when the person comes to the age where one has lost the alertness, being very forgetful, so will it be the time when one should practice? Or what age does the person need to start the practice? And as it is said that if everyone needs to practice Satipatthana meditation, at what age is Satipatthana practice necessary? And one should understand, based on what reasons, that Satipatthana meditation is important. So if Satipatthana meditation is essential for everyone, one should know what are the clear proof that Satipatthana is essential for everyone. So one should know the clear proof or the sound proof to explain why Satipatthana is essential for everyone, so that the others cannot deny the facts. In order to have this sound reason, proof that Satipatthana is essential for everyone, one should know, together with the examples, and it is Saraji's duty to explain in order to make the yogis understand these reasons together with the examples. Among the 14 questions, Saraji will start answering these questions. And the first one is, what is Satipatthana? Before Saraji explained what is Satipatthana, theoretically, Saraji will first explain the term Satipatthana briefly. Saraji explains the word Satipatthana. Satipatthana means closely established mindfulness. When it is said that Satipatthana is closely established mindfulness, one needs to know what the mindfulness should be close to. So the mindfulness should be close to the object. There are objects arising in oneself, kaya, the bodily actions, vedana, feelings and sensations, citta, thoughts, imagination, and dhamma, other general objects, such as seeing, hearing, and so on. So the mindfulness should be closely established on these four fields of objects to be noted. So the mindfulness should be closely on these objects. According to the teaching of the word, according to the teaching of the Buddha, Buddha, Buddha to Pasati, according to this short sentence, Buddha, Buddha to Pasati, one should be mindful of the object that really exists in the way it really is, and it is called Satipatthana. And the teachers explain the complete meaning of Satipatthana, not only of the word sati, but the combination of patthana together with sati, how the meaning is. So Satipatthana means being mindful with sustained mindfulness, closely established on the object outstandingly. So it is the meaning of Satipatthana. And later on also, Saraji will explain from theory and practice. During the sitting meditation, according to the instruction, as soon as one has sit down completely, when the arranging of the legs and hands are all done, one should focus one's mind on the abdomen and breathe normally. Breathing in, the abdomen rises. Rising of the abdomen is the object. It is the presently arising object. And when falling takes place, falling of the abdomen is the object. And one should note it with sustained mindfulness so that the mindfulness will be outstanding, sustaining on the object, sticking onto the object. So there also needs to be other mental strength that are supporting the mindfulness. One should aim the noting mind onto the object. One should exert effort in the noting. When noting rising of the abdomen efficiently, at times the noting mind falls on form or shape of the abdomen. At times the noting mind falls on the manner of rising. So in the beginning of the practice, it happens that the mind falls on the form or shape concept or the manner concept. But as long as the mind is on the rising, the mind not going other the mind not going to other things, it is quite good. As long as the mind does not run elsewhere but fall on the rising. So at first, in the beginning, the mind falls on form or shape concept or the manner concept. But the mind, so long as it does not run elsewhere, it is good. But as the person becomes skillful in noting the object, the mind falls beyond the sandhana panyati form or shape concept or the akara panyati, the manner concept, but the mind falls on the nature, the characteristics such as stiffness, tension, movement. In this way, one should be noting the object, the mind, the noting mind being sustained on the object. During the walking meditation, one should focus one's mind on the foot. One should be mindful every time one makes a step, or every time one lifts and drops the foot, or every time when one lifts, moves, and places the foot. In order that the noting mind should be concurrent with the lifting of the foot, one should aim the mind onto the lifting, asserting effort in noting the lifting, so that the noting mind will be concurrent with the lifting. So the mindfulness should be closely established on the lifting of the foot. In the beginning of the practice, when noting lifting, one just experiences the form or shape of the foot, or at times the mind falls on the manner of lifting. So in the beginning of the practice, it happens that the mind falls on form or shape concept or the manner concept. So long as the mind does not run elsewhere, it is quite good. But as the person notes again and again, when the person becomes skillful in the noting, viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration become strengthened, and the mind falls beyond form or shape concept or the manner concept, but falls on the nature or the characteristics, discerning lightness or pushing from under when noting lifting. And when moving the foot, one experiences pushing from behind or pulling from front. And placing the foot, the heaviness and the hardness. In this way, one discerns the nature or the characteristics by being mindful at the moment the object arises. So by noting every lifting, moving, and placing, the mindfulness is sustained, closely established on the lifting, moving, placing, and one comes to discern the true nature, the true characteristics, and it is satipatthana. Sati means remembering or mindfulness, and patthana means closely established on the objects, kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. So satipatthana means that the mindfulness that is closely established on the object. So here there is the definite law that the mindfulness that is sustained and closely established on the object outstandingly is satipatthana. And it is the answer to the first question. And the hour is up. Saraji will continue to answer the other questions tomorrow. สาธุสาธุ